Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to American Freedom Watch Radio. It's Tuesday night, and we are blessed to have you with us. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. This is your host, Karen Schoen, and please visit our websites, agenda21today.com, karenschoen.com, panhandlepatriots.com, and americaismyname.org. We have a very exciting show because I have been able to have our favorite, bestest researcher extraordinaire, Neil Rice, with us to help critique our last, may we be so lucky, ever to have to hear another State of the Union from the criminal in the White House. I can't even call him president anymore. I'm sorry. Welcome, Neil. Welcome, Sally. And it is a pleasure to have you with us, with me this evening. Folks, I don't know if John is going to be here. If he's out in the ocean on a rig, then unfortunately that depends on the connectivity that he has. And if he doesn't have good connectivity, there's not much we can say about it. First of all, we do want it. Say a prayer and a moment of silence for the people that were killed in Istanbul. Another, what do we call this now? A lunatic, crazy person that happened to put on a suicide vest for no reason at all, just to get up in the morning and go kill people. Because it is a disgrace, just like what went on in Germany. And the mayor being unable to say in Philadelphia that this was a terrorist of terrorists and recognize a terrorist. This is the travesty that we are experiencing today. And it's really a shame. John is with us. Yay, John. It is wonderful that we are always pleasantly surprised when you can make it. And
yes,
today,
ma'am,
we're going to be the remember years ago when they had Science 2000 and they had these little critters sitting in front of the screen critiquing what the science fiction movie was saying? Well, we're going to critique Obama's POTUS since it is the last one. And we need to have some fun with it, and we need to tell our listeners what they should be looking out for. He said this is going to be a different address. Maybe he's not going to use a teleprompter. That would be different.
Well, whether he does or he doesn't, I mean, there's things that we know he will do. You know, he will address the great danger and the great hazard to our nation and the greatest risk, and that will be climate change.
Yes.
He will address the abhorrent gun violence. And there's some things we won't hear him say. He will not use the words Islamic extremist.
Let's talk about that for a minute, John, because I have a theory on that one. If he uses the term Islamic terrorist or Islamic extremist, that would put him in a position of committing treason because, as we have found out, we're giving money to them. So
yes.
In essence, if he calls it a terrorist organization, then by rights, he should be hung for treason for giving money to America's enemies. And
well,
I believe that that's why he's not going to give them a name or a label or an anything.
But I guess, there you go. But I also think, Karen, that it's becoming more and more clear because of the number of whistleblowers from inside the military that are beginning to speak out. Not only have we exchanged and given and financed operations, Islamic extremism, but we've also armed Islamic extremists. His secretary, Ms. Hillary Clinton, and Barack Obama armed Islamic extremists to overthrow Gaddafi in Libya, and we know what happened in Benghazi, and we know that those same individuals that they armed in Libya carried those arms into the excursion into Syria. And those facts are becoming more and more. People are speaking out. You know, the old guys that he has forced out that will not kowtow to him in the military are being forced out of the military, and now they're beginning to open their mouths and say, this took place. We did arm Islamic extremists. So you're right. I mean, he can't call it what it is, because if he does, then he will be guilty, because he would have known that he armed the enemy of the United States of America.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the executive orders that I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, if we get the right person in office, and I do mean right person in office, and that should be a question that every single person should be asking when they vet a candidate, if they meet a candidate, if they go to a town hall, no matter what they do. Will you eliminate every single one of Obama's egregious, unlawful, unconstitutional executive orders? And the highest one that I can think of, surprisingly enough, is not the gun nonsense that he just did, because the gun executive orders that he's trying to implement will be impossible for him to implement because they are contrary to our existing gun laws. Our gun laws have very, very, very strict definitions of mental illness, of who should have a gun, of who should have a license. And Obama, in his wish list, saying that every person, imagine that, every person that sells a gun has to be licensed. Well, in the accountability section of the gun law, it does not say that at all. It says that a person buying and selling guns for profit, not a collector, not an individual who says, I'd like to trade up and I'd like to sell my gun to you because you have a better one and I can trade up, that person does not have to have a license. So there's not going to be very much teeth that he's going to be able to put into the gun bill. I am more concerned about the other two, and that is Executive Order 13575, which is the Rural Communities of Sustainable Development, and the other one, which is 13603, which says that if he decides to declare martial law or any type of danger, he has the right to seize the property of anyone, including guns, food, you name it. He has the right to seize it. All he has to do is say, we are having an issue. Those, to me, are far worse than anything else. And, Neil, you just sent over an article of what's going on in Seattle. So why don't you share that for a moment, because it's important that people know these executive orders have meaning.
Oh, yeah. In Seattle, now if I remember, I have read so much today, Karen, I'll go nuts here. In Seattle, they're trying to, the legislation is trying to pass a bill that no person will be able to own a family, just for a family residence property.
So they are trying to eliminate, in the name of social justice and fairness.
Equality,
Equality, because if I have 5 acres and Neil has 10 and John has 20, my gosh, that is just not fair.
It's crazy. I mean, it's absolutely ludicrous. I cannot believe that anybody would even consider this. I cannot believe that everybody in that state that owns a home or any kind of property would not be up in arms. I cannot believe it.
Well, this is the way these executive orders work. If we allow them to sit on the books, it is, it's like a death of a thousand cuts, because the executive order may not be implemented today, but let's take a worst case scenario. Hillary Clinton becomes the president. Obama's executive orders are sitting there. Do you think she's going to go through and get rid of any one of them? I don't think so. I think she's going to sit on them and add to them and make them worse. So getting the next president in office, while doing that, demanding that they eliminate his egregious executive orders, has to be a high priority. Do you guys think he's going to talk about how wonderful Obamacare is?
I don't think so.
Well, I mean, you can bet he will mention the bright side of it as he sees it, as his progressive ideology views it, and the fact that he has given health care to whatever the number of millions of American citizens who did not have or could not afford health care. He has done that, but he will not address what he has done to the insurance industry. He will not address what he has done to the working citizens and the increase in insurance cost and coverage and the lack of available choices. He will not address the things that are failing when it comes to Obamacare, but he will definitely state how well he's done in insuring the uninsurable and giving them health care. So he'll tell you who he's gave it to, but he won't tell you the cost, and he won't tell you, you know, just who is being harmed and hurt and what it's done to the economy. You know, okay. That's like he won't address what's taking place in the oil industry in the United States of America as the price of oil fell below $30 a barrel today. And, you know, I read an interesting article, and it came out of the Wall Street Journal. And it spoke to the fact that the oil is not being priced, but you and I have spoken at it when it was $100 to $80 a barrel. We spoke about social pricing. Right now, we have a global economy where China is struggling. China's economy is in the verge of some very serious issues. Possible, I won't say collapse because that's not possible, but They do confront serious issues, so the world bankers, the central bankers, have increased the value of the dollar, while the yuan has been held, I guess, falsely down, and the Chinese may even further to devalue it even further. But by manipulating currency, since China is the largest consumer of imported oil, if we reduce the price of oil across the planet, then we make it easy for the Chinese economy to purchase the crude oil that they need to keep things running. Mm-hmm. So we are willing to redistribute the wealth and to destroy an industry sector, an entire sector in the United States of America, for the advancement of a global policy that will keep China in crude oil. And you know, when you read those things that say we're manipulating the currency for global good, you know, this is why oil will be $20 a barrel. It's shocking to me that when will the American people, when will the citizens of the planet recognize that the links and ties of the global economy are creating a global disaster of economic, I mean, there's no way to fathom what will take place unless we look at history and we look at World War One and World War Two, and we go back to where were the economies of the world then? You know, who was the world leader of manufacturing and everything that was made and produced? Well, it was the United States of America. But we no longer hold that title when it comes to production and leading and producing. It's China. So the world players have changed, but we are being pushed into the brink of economic destruction, which will ultimately, I think, lead to a World War III. And it may take place in, you know, who's to know? Will it be Kim Jong-un in North Korea lobs a nuke at South Korea? Will it be someone in the Middle East that launches and lobs a nuke in the Middle East? Will it be someone with brave enough intent to even, dare say, launch a missile over the United States of America? But we're seeing the hostile acts of all the world stage being manipulated by the financiers and the bankers of the central banks.
Oh, you are so right, Don. And you are. Today was a perfect example. How many people actually think that Iran would have taken over an American ship and held 10 Navy men if America was strong, if America was a leader? How many people really think that they would have done that? And do people understand what this is all about? I believe this was to get the communications or whatever technology was on that ship and have Iran go through it now that they're going to be multi-billionaires when we finish giving them the $150 billion. So I believe that they wanted to make sure that they had the latest and greatest technology, so taking over an American ship was the easiest thing for them to do. After all, there's no red line, there's no force, there's no threat, there's no nothing, and they can do whatever the heck they want. So,
and isn't that the truth, though, Karen? And that's one thing that we will not hear from Barack Obama in the State of the Union address. We will not hear him proclaim his drastic failure when it comes to the world and his foreign policy across the planet, and then his very failed policy when it comes to Tehran. You give these mullahs, when you sign this terrible agreement with them, you give them an open license to confront anyone in the Middle East, and that's exactly what they're doing. We knew that Iran for decades is a sponsor of global terrorism, and now we get in bed with them. This administration signs an agreement that absolutely unleashes and unhandcuffs them and finances and gives them greater wealth and power to do exactly what they, you know, they're launching missiles. What do? Do we enact any kind of restraints on them? No. So the very people that he got in bed with have betrayed him, but it's not Barack Obama who will suffer if these folks get their hands on the ability to launch a nuclear weapon. And
also,
we all know,
John,
that.
One thing Iran did with this movement on these two Navy ships, they showed the rest of the world, made an example on how weak supposedly the United States is.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Point.
Yeah, we have deserted our friends. You know, I mean, for I guess in my lifetime, we have always been the backbone and protected the Saudis in the Middle Eastern region. You know, we've protected it for our own designs at time for the barrel of oil, but we still offered them protection. Now we offer nothing. We have not lived up to any agreements to maintain peace in the Middle East by supporting, you know, the Sunnis over the Shiites. No. Let's take them. This man is either an idiot, and you know, that's hard to fathom that we've got a president that would be this foolish, this stupid, unless he has a design that no one, not one of us, can see. I cannot see how you cannot go in right now militarily and run every Iranian ship out of the Persian Gulf.
Well, because he's the United Nations Marxist.
Yeah,
the new guy that is taking over the United Nations is a CEO of the Socialist organization.
Yeah, exactly.
So why are we belonging to the UN? And it is important to this administration who gets in that office in 2016 to save everything that he has done, all his policies. Joe Biden came out today, and he is praising and almost endorsing and giving his support to Bernie Sanders.
Yes.
Because they are kind of thinking that Hillary might not be around.
Yeah.
That'd be wonderful.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
Sanders
has
been there since
1988. Yeah, but and that's a frightening thing, Karen, is that they would.
I know.
If they would happen to indict Hillary, then that will be Bernie Sanders will be the guy. And boy, is that
do
not
you really
that just
think so?
That scares me worse.
Do you really think so, or do you think that Biden will say, I want to come in? Oh,
well,
he
here's the deal.
No,
if they're willing to concede, if they're willing to concede the presidency, then they would run Biden. Biden can't win against any. I mean, when you look at the poll numbers, Biden will not win against any of the Republican candidates. When you look at the poll numbers, they get ready for a shock. Bernie does have a chance against a handful of them, not all of them, but when it comes to a handful of them, because you got to think, who are the socialists backing Bernie Sanders? You know, and what would it be if they all united behind Bernie Sanders? Scary. Right.
Well,
but I don't think it'll be Biden. Biden can't win the presidency.
No, John's right on that. But here's the thing, too, that's even worse, and I can't find it anymore, and I sent this to Karen years ago. Bernie Sanders actually came out, and I'm talking years ago, and stated that he was a Marxist.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Sure did.
He is not a socialist. He's a Marxist. And that's what we've got
right
now in the White House.
There you go. He'll fit right in, huh?
Yep. We got a Muslim Marxist in the White House.
You know, did either one of you watch the town hall meeting on gun violence with the president?
No.
Well, I found it quite strange. That of all the talented people there that were there to confront and question and give hard questions to the president, that there was one single, when the mention by Anderson Cooper of a conspiracy to disarm America, not one individual stood up and said, President Obama, have you or have you not signed an agreement with the United Nations for a small arms treaty that would disarm America? That's a legitimate question. If you're talking conspiracy, it's not a conspiracy. It's a fact that Hillary Clinton and John Kerry have signed, along with Barack Obama, the United Nations Small Arm Treaty, which would disarm this nation. Now, you know, for him to sit in front of the entire, I guess, the sheeple and spew that, oh, no, I would never, that would never be possible for me to disarm all of these millions and millions. I'm not into that. I like to go hunt myself. BS. BS. You see a lot of pictures of Barack on the golf course, but when did you ever see him out in the woods hunting? You know, this guy's a liar.
Well, that we know.
But it's ironic that no one asked the question. You know, why would you sign a small
arms
treaty?
Another thing that you and Neil and I and Charlotte Isby, and I remember this conversation, we were talking about, this was in, I think it was 2012, and we were talking about what did he think of doing next? Where is this going? Why is he doing this? And I remember saying, and we had a conversation on this, that I believe that he was setting the stage to become the UN Secretary General after he leaves the White House. Mm-hmm. And he's setting the stage and putting these things in place so that when he becomes the head of the United Nations, that he will try to pressure to enforce. And
yes.
If he had the right president, he would be able to do that.
I don't think, you know, if you look at the world courts and the decisions coming out of the Hague, you know, the fact that they will not try any of these folks for treason, the fact that they have allowed this dark cabal to go on globally with the central bankers and the number of cases that have been brought to them to hold these central bankers accountable globally. Not just for the issues that have happened to our economy, but the Hague is a farce in itself, and where they stand when it comes to regard to cases brought by the United Nations. So I think that there could be power handed in the world court against the United States of a government that would, I guess, basically void in any constitutional government in the United States and hand power over to the United Nations totally.
Yep.
And it wouldn't take much of an act to do that. I mean, I think they have the people and the power in place. I think that they're positioning themselves, and every executive order that this man has even put a pen to is about diverting anything and subverting the Congress. And then now we have a Congress that you, I, Neil, and many of our listeners know that the articles of impeachment, well-founded documents, have been handed over to Congress, and we know that they are complicit in allowing this man to maintain office today. When he stands up there today, he should be he should have been impeached years ago.
Yes.
Years ago. But now we know that in the last 6 months that there are a multitude of congressmen and senators that have these articles of impeachment in their hands, and they are doing nothing. They have taken no action. So that means they're complicit. If they're complicit, are they willing to then hand over power to the United Nations?
Yes, they are. No
yes,
question about
so
it.
You
look at all
found
the laws they've passed
yep.
for the United Nations.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
And let's take something real simple. Take a look at what they have done with the, quote, Restore Act money. And this was the money that was supposed to go to the states in the five states that were harmed by the BP oil spill. And it was supposed to go to the people to help the people who were harmed, who got the money. The bulk of the money, 80% of the money, went to their NGOs and conservation groups. The people got nothing.
Yes. That's it.
They got the pleasure of being put out of business. They got the pleasure of losing their property. They got the pleasure of losing their homes. They got nothing. And conservation got it all. Neil, you did an incredible research on tell everybody what Jeb has done to the state of Florida, that Barack is continuing because of his climate program.
Well, Jeb Bush is a traitor. He should have been, it should have been pushed for treason on him. And unfortunately, nobody, like I said, on these debates are asking any of these candidates the right questions. And
well,
Jeb Bush created this Florida Forever, the largest land acquisition organization in the country. Picture in your mind, if you will, what the state of Florida looks like. Now take away a third of that state. That's what Jeb Bush did for the environmentalist and for sustainable development and regionalism that he preached in 2006 throughout the state of Florida, that regionalism was the only thing for economic success.
Mm-hmm.
He is a traitor. His whole family is disgusting. And then everybody's worried about Clinton get it nominated. I'd be more worried about Jeb Bush getting it. Look at what he's done with Common Core.
Well, they're all one and the same, Neil. You know, that's the sad thing is right now we're confronted as a nation with on both sides. You know, you've laid out a great case against Bernie Sanders, the Marxist. We can lay out a great case for the traitor Hillary Clinton, but we can also lay out that case Marco Rubio, Jeb Bush, and the litany of the same. You know, I mean, they're all, you know, if we elect and we exercise our voting rights, and we elect one of these individuals that we refer to them as establishment Republicans, then all we're doing is electing another progressive, and the Marxist ideology will continue. We'll continue down the same path. They will not turn anything around. They have no will to do that. The people that are in absolute control, the central bankers, will not allow them to. This, you know, that's where, you know, when I tell, and I've said many times that I fear for Donald Trump's life.
I do.
Were he to get elected. You know, and I think about Rand Paul and his effort to open up the books on the Federal Reserve. And look how the media has dismissed Rand Paul. When we go back and we look at the very first Republican debate, look at the assassination that took place of Rand Paul. To marginalize Rand Paul was the very first. You know, we knew they were going to attack Donald, and they did. But the one thing we didn't pay a lot of attention to was who else did they totally marginalize to take out of the view of the conversation, and that was Rand Paul.
And you do know that he stepped down for the second debate thing held tonight. He was not going to participate.
Yeah.
Right. Well, the sad part is, and this is something that Rand Paul should have learned from Donald Trump, when somebody attacks you, you can't sit and be the nice guy and say nothing. You've got to go on the offensive, especially when you're talking about a breed of people that want to slit your throat. You can't sit back and say, well, don't make the cut too deep.
One thing your listeners and everyone needs to understand, and we didn't get to talk much last time on it, and that's Chris Christie.
Yes.
Because he's going to be on the debate tonight.
Great. The debate is Thursday.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. It's the union tonight. Yeah.
Tonight is the El Presidente.
Union, yeah.
Yeah,
the Marxist leader.
Right.
But Chris Christie, he has the state with the second largest Muslim population. And he bends over for these Muslims. He has gone with Jeb Bush on Common Core, highly recommends it, stands by it. He has signed his state onto sustainable development. And now he sees nothing wrong with the Muslims, and he has appointed a judge, a Muslim judge that is connected with CARE to a district court judge. And he has come out and made the statement that Sharia law is all crap.
Wow.
Now, there is Chris Christie.
Yes. And also, I'm glad you mentioned CARE, because CARE is considered an unindicted co-conspirator of terror front group for the Muslim Brotherhood. And guess who was invited to go to the State of the Union address?
Mm-hmm.
CARE. Mm-hmm. Now,
they have their 501(c)(3), isn't it?
Yes.
They get tax deductions.
Yes. Yes. And think about all of the, quote, moderate Muslims and all of the, quote, moderate groups of Muslims who are trying to assimilate, who are trying to fit in, who are trying to denounce the terror that's going on, and they get a bucket of cold water while the terror group gets to go to the event. So this is where this president is coming from. I'm sure that he's also going to tout his wonderful job numbers. So let's talk about that for a minute.
Yes, you know why? Let me interrupt real fast, Karen, and take it on. You too, John. With this oil, the way it is, there are 30 oil companies now in the United States that are filing bankruptcy. And they put out numbers, I can't remember for sure, it was either 4,000 or 40,000 employees that will be losing their jobs because of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
going
to be pretty
devastating.
The cuts have already, they're huge, yeah. Go ahead, Karen.
It's going to be enormous. But 30 oil companies in this country are filing bankruptcy?
Yes, ma'am. And it's going to be worse.
Dr.
The next
Bud
6 months
people.
Will be devastating.
Oh, yeah.
You are, yes. Folks, this is going to be like nothing we have ever seen. And I heard Neil, and I hope everybody else did, stock up on food.
Water,
now
too.
Water, food, medicine. And for those of you that can't figure out what you need to survive, I suggest that this weekend, Friday afternoon, you turn the lights off and don't turn the electricity on until Sunday evening, and make a list of the things that you are missing, the things that you need, the things that you and your family will need to survive. Because there is nothing worse in the world than what a hungry human will do to feed themselves and their family. There is nothing that a human will not do in order to survive. So this is not going to be a good time. And again, this is being put in place on purpose by this president and his minions, who are sitting and anxiously waiting. Remember what he said in his speech, speech about guns? What do you think I'm going to do, declare martial law and collect everybody's guns? Yes, that's exactly what we think you're going to do. And the signs are there, like John said. We have to look at and remember our history. And history says that when the goods and services of a country fall apart, the country will fall apart. He who controls the energy controls the country. He who controls the food controls the people. Have food. Never let anybody control you.
No,
because this is going to get ugly, ugly, ugly. And
One thing I'd like to bring up, Karen, if I can, really quickly.
Absolutely, sure.
Thanks. And that's for anybody can look this up. And I've sent it to Karen a couple of times. And it's the Nazis' Weapons Act of 1938. And I compared it to the United States Gun Control Act of 1968. The first 6 points are identical. Under the Nazi weapons, the first one is classified guns for sporting purposes, the same as the U.S. All Germans purchase firearms to register with the Nazi officials and submit to a background check, the same for the U.S. The law assumes a non-Nazi German were hostile and thereby exempted Nazis from the gun control law, same thing. And the Nazis assume unrestricted power to decide what kind of firearm could or could not be owned by a private person. That's what's being done here. The types
Absolutely.
Of ammunition that were legal were subject to control by the government bureaucrats. The same here. Now, there you go.
And I saw everybody, New York State. Two Democratic legislators in New York State are trying to get a bill passed that will limit a person's ability to purchase ammunition within a 90-day time frame. So if you go and you buy a couple of boxes of ammo, you have to wait 90 days before you can purchase any more. What criminal is going to wait 90 days? Can you please?
Well, I just never have understood anybody.
I put it on my calendar. We can't go and hold up that store because we ran out of bullets the last time. We have to wait 90 days before we can hold up the next store. Give me a break.
I
wonder
like
I posted on Facebook a very logical explanation for folks of infringement. And by definition, the word infringe shall not be infringed. And the understanding that for this man, this president, this Congress, or anyone to take actions to define what it is that we can have and what we cannot have as of arms is against an unconstitutional act. So if and if I went into your neighborhood where you live, and I carried out and I perpetrated crime upon crime, and I did criminal acts to where you knew that your neighbors were complicit with me in committing crimes against you and your neighborhood, at what point would you and other fellow like-minded neighbors decide to take a stand? And I think that Americans better wake up to the fact that we have offered, I know that on this show we've offered truth and we've offered evidence of criminal acts by this president, his acts of treason. So we know that he is a criminal and he is holding power over our nation and he is operating with a criminally complicit Congress. And we are doing nothing. We have done nothing. We do nothing. You know, when I see the Bundy, the Oregon guys and the Patriots in Oregon, you know, that are trying to shut down this federal land grab, you know, whether you agree or you disagree, at least they are citizens saying we have had enough, no more. We will not allow an agency of the federal government to seize for benefit of profit and gain the natural resources of a private citizen. And that's what that's about. You know, it's about the BLM going in and dictating to a private citizen whether or not they can burn and control burn their property, their land. And, you know, it's more than what, at what point in time is that the linchpin that maybe will finally be pulled and people will wake up and say, man, look, they are out of control. These folks are endeavoring to dictate every aspect of your existence in the United States of America. Listen, that's a harsh statement. Every aspect of your existence is being dictated by the federal government.
Exactly.
You tell me what aspect of your life is not being dictated, I'd like to hear that from any listener anywhere on the planet Earth. I would like to know what aspect of your life is not being dictated to by the federal government.
And the federal government's allowing it because the BLM is a foreign corporation.
Yes, ma'am. Well, we have multiple foreign corporations. The Federal Reserve.
I know, but
right. Well,
yeah.
As we know, I mean, this is all part of the master plan, and it will be culminated when King Obama becomes the chief cook and bottle washer of the United Nations. And I only
mm-hmm.
hope and pray that we have a president who will say, we're getting out. We are not interested in your communist stupidity. We're not paying half your dues so that you can coast off of the American people, and we're not listening to your garbage. And
that's like John said, Karen, before,
yep.
when he said or asked, is this Congress or these people going to allow this to happen? Well, yes, they are, because Joe Walsh, that was in Congress, that did a bill stating to the fact that if there was a small arms treaty with the United Nations, if any of that was to affect any American citizen and their right for their guns or to go against any rights with their guns, that Congress would defund the United Nations. And he pushed that and pushed it. And there was less than 6 congressmen that would sign on to it.
Yeah.
Well, that is the other side of the coin. It is not just the president that we have to elect.
No.
We have to elect people who actually understand and know what freedom, liberty, pursuit of happiness, and all of the amendments of the Constitution actually mean. I mean, we are sitting right now in the state of Florida, and we got rid of, as Neil well knows, we got rid of our representative, Steve Sutherland, because he would not take a stand. He was elected to take a stand. And when he said, what do you want me to do, go to Washington and make waves? Be like Louis Gohmert? I'm not going to do that. Well, the minute he said that, Neil and I looked at each other and we said, yeah, that's why we sent you there, and we're going to do everything we can to make sure we get rid of you. And we did. So things like that can happen. Now,
I mean,
also,
we got a Democrat in there, but who cares?
No,
we got to make a point, don't we?
That's right. Well, at least we know how she's going to vote. She's
not
going to deviate from anything. We know she's not going to make a change. She's not going to make a difference. And she's going to do stupid things like vote to eliminate labeling for meat, country of origin labeling for meat. When I asked her why she did that, she said, you know, Karen, we did a study. Oh, really? We did a study and we discovered that if we put the country of origin on the label of the meat, then the poor people won't be able, it will raise the price of the meat so high that the poor people won't have meat. Do you believe that?
Well, then your listeners need to know this and pay very good attention to this. I was told by a meat manager for Winn-Dixie, when I asked questions on where this is coming from, he said, I'm going to tell you. He took me aside. If you see black Angus on red meat, it came from the United States. If you don't, more than likely it came from Mexico.
Good to know.
Now, he told
me
that.
Yeah, good.
Very good to know.
Yeah.
Very good to know.
But here's another thing with ISIS now. It came out today in the news. There are 20 Muslim countries now that are supporting ISIS. Now, stop and think of the candidates that are saying, well, we can let the refugees in, but not from these 4, 5, or 6 countries. Excuse me? There's 20 of them, and they all belong with the United Nations. We need to get out of the UN.
We need to get out of the UN. We need to build a wall as high as we possibly can. Make sure nobody gets over it. And I don't care if Trump's name is across the entire wall every 5 inches.
Oh, did you hear about New York? Yeah, that big park, I forget what it's called.
Yes.
The big park in New York. Okay.
New York, yes.
Trump donated that land.
Yes.
In 2006. And his name was on it. Now, the mayor of New York wants his name, and other Democrats, legislators wants his name off of it, and they want to put an American Muslim name on it.
That's good for them.
I mean, I am just so thrilled.
Hey, you know when I listen to all of us. I even take time to listen to folks from outside the Beltway who are speaking the truth. I'm so fearful that one of the things that we talked about early was being prepared. I think that there's no greater time or greater risk in this nation and for our listeners than what may happen in this year, 2016. I think we're on the brink. There's too many things that are culminating. They're coming together. I guess there's one tipping point that will drive it all asunder. And when it does go asunder, what will it look like for you and your neighbors? And I think that's the biggest thing that this president tonight, with whatever garbage spews out of his mouth, he will not address or have anything to say about what it is that we fear as American citizens. We fear that our country has been infiltrated by Islamic extremists. We fear economic collapse. We fear in the oil field the fact that we may not have a job tomorrow. We have fears of an economy failing. We have fears of the divide that is being created between citizens and our police force. When we see everything that is, you know, our foreign allies have been betrayed, And I'm fearful. What will happen to Israel? What will happen to Europe? What is happening in Europe? And where is this country? Where are we? Well, what will be our role? How will the world see the United States of America and the citizens of America, the folks that always rescued, the folks that were always there on the side of freedom and liberty? Where are we being seen by the rest of the world? Are we being seen as the traitor Barack Obama? That's a big fear for me.
I don't think so. I think that the people realize that the American people have had enough with him. And if it was up to us, the policy would be very different. And that's going to denote the next president.
Well, he's going to dismiss us tonight. That's one thing, too.
He is going to dismiss us. Absolutely. Despite the bigger, he has to help the world and make sure that people aren't interested. I mean, that's the priority of the world. ISIS, oh, they just don't count. No, of course, ISIS has a very important role to these people. It's called depopulation. That has not changed. And to me, ISIS is the front group of their depopulation. And so,
one thing I would like to see, Karen, in your spare time.
Thank you. Another job.
I would love to see you put, and I would be more than happy to put it together mostly for you, on your website, a link that anyone can go on for prepping for disaster.
Good idea. That will be a very good idea. We have one at least.
Because things that they never think of, because I have come across new things almost every week that I said, oh, my gosh, I have to do that.
Okay.
Hey, you know, ladies, when you said that, I have had in my possession for close to, well, I don't know, it's been a long time now, a document that was prepared by a man. And it was what to do and prepare yourself for martial law. Now, that sounds like a little bit, oh, my God, do you really? And some people may not accept it. But one of the things in the document, and when you get the 45-page document, when you read through it and you cruise through it, one of the things in there is this man was a military man that implemented for the United States of America martial law in foreign countries. So he's very well versed, but he's also very well versed on how do you survive martial law. So if you can survive martial law, certainly you can survive a hurricane. Certainly you can survive civil unrest. You could survive an economic meltdown that would take, you know, 6-8 months or whatever it would take before they would reorganize and introduce their new system. You would have the ability to survive in its simple commodities that you can buy in large quantities, and you can have for, you know, the simple stuff, you know, lighting. What is
that
a simple way to light? You know, what? Yeah, I'll put it on. I'm going to put it on the Facebook page.
If you can put that on the Facebook page, that would be wonderful, Neil. If you will work with me, let's do that. I think that is really, really important.
Because there's a lot of people
out there,
Karen,
that have no clue.
Don't know, and they need to know. And
yes.
Make them stop and think of certain items that can get cheap and you can start building and building onto it.
Excellent idea.
Yeah.
And
but I think it's time.
I think it's time. I think you're absolutely right. I have seen enough of this to know that the signs are not good. And the people that were quiet before, the economists that are quiet were quiet before, they're not happy campers. And one just has to look at the stock market to see that all they're doing is manipulating. They're just manipulating all of this garbage, and they're playing with themselves. And they're going to make the market go up and down, so that they can fool more people into stealing, being able to steal their money. And the end is not going to be pretty. And with that note, the end is coming near, because we are going to be stopping. It's very important, folks, that you pay attention to this address, and it is not so much for what he says, it is for what he implies.
Yes. Can I make
that
a
is his feelings
short,
about us.
Yeah,
right,
a short
ahead.
Statement in this letter I sent you today, Karen, from an Australian patriot to our president, and at the end, I love his caption. He says that an armed man is a citizen and an unarmed man is a subject.
Good.
Respect.
People need to think about that very hard.
Very, yes. Good point.
And this
good
goes right to what
point.
He's talking about tonight.
Yes, absolutely. So, folks, we are going to say this evening... we are going to have a short show because you're going to
be... Yeah,
we
don't want to miss the president.
We don't want to miss one word of the teleprompter. But
and look for our breakdown tomorrow. I'll make sure that I capture everything, and I'll give everybody a little rebuttal to Mr. Obama. I'll offer
okay.
that up.
Okay, everyone. That is great news. And... I wanted to thank you all for joining us this evening. This is Karen Schoen and John Estabrooks and Neil Rice, and we're with American Freedom Watch Radio. We're brought to you every Tuesday night live on Blog Talk Radio, American Statesman. We are making this a short one today because we want everybody to pay attention to POTUS so that you know what to look for and what not to look for in the next candidate. That's real important, folks.
Yeah, exactly.
Watch his body language. He has absolute disdain for the people he talks to. He really does. And since this is going to be different, we have been promised, I can hardly wait to hear what he's going to say. Folks, please visit our websites. We have some wonderful information there, fabulous articles that are coming in from wonderful people. And, of course, Neil's research is stellar. Please visit our Facebook page, facebook.com, American Freedom Watch Radio. If you live in the state of Florida and you wish to register to vote in the primary, the presidential primary in Florida is the second week of March, you must have your registration changed by the first week of February. So if you have not changed your registration so that you can vote in this election, you still have 3 weeks. Don't wait for the last minute. Now, in Florida in August, that is the primary for all other positions. So there are actually two primaries this year. Mm-hmm. One your state for president and one your state for state and local offices. If you want to change back after the presidential election, you can do that. You can change as many times as you want, and it does not cost any money.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever you do, make sure you vote. Make sure you get your friends and family and tell your neighbors. It is important. Make a day out of it. Do something with it. Make sure you vote. That is, this is going to be, I cannot impress upon everyone how important this election is. It is the most important election.
Yeah, one real
yes,
quickie. One
yes,
real thanks. Quickie, and some people might not like this, but I'm going to throw it in anyway. Anybody that does have a computer or needs the information can contact Karen, because Trump is the only candidate that has come out with a Second Amendment gun plan for everyone in this country to uphold the Second Amendment. And he is the only candidate that has come out and verbally stated that he will slash funding for Washington education and the EPA.
Yes.
There you go.
That is true. Go to his page. Go and look at his programs and his policies, and don't listen when they say who he has no policies. He doesn't come out and talk about them because he's not going to be long-winded and people won't pay attention. He posts his policies. He posts his ideas. he posts that on his website. And for those of you that live in the panhandle of Florida, he's going to be in Pensacola tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So, everyone, God bless you all. God bless America. John and Sally and Neil, time to say good night.
All right, good night. Hey. God bless everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Country.
God bless. Thank you so much, Sally.
I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, protect and defend, because my name is America. I stand proud and free. My name is America. Don't tread on me. I cannot be broken. I cannot be.
Good night.